The following program is presented in IMAX on select devices. When you need a private eye and times are tough, you may not have the resources to afford Sam Spade, Johnny Fletcher, Mr. Keene, or Rocky Fortune. So who can you turn to except...
T-Bone Stone, the discount detective.
Yes, T-Bone Stone gives you more value for your covert detection dollar. Today's exciting episode is called The Case of the Ultraviolet Tuna Melt and stars Jake Vandenbroek as T-Bone Stone, the discount detective. This episode is brought to you by Pasquale's Premium Pasta. Whether you prefer penne pasta or pappardelle, Pasquale's pasta is the preferable choice. Painstakingly prepared to perfection, persnickety patrons prefer Pasquale's. As we open the story, T-Bone has been called by James Johnson, editor of the Crossroad City Tribune Herald News Press Times. He had a standard contract in his jacket pocket, and he arrived at the Tribune Herald News Press Times building and spoke to the receptionist, Gladys.
Hello again, Mr. Stone.
Nice to see you again, Gladys. And please call me. Well, you know what to call me.
What can I do for you, T-Bone? If you're here to see Mr. Johnson, he is very busy. He told me to say that to everyone. I suppose he's expecting you?
Yes. He called this morning for me to come over to see him.
Let me call and let him know you're here. Mr. Johnson, T-Bone Stone is here to see you. I'll send him right over. Mr. Johnson will see you now, T-Bone.
Thank you, Gladys. If I didn't know better, I'd think you actually knew what you were doing.
Oh, T-Bone, you're such a card.
I tried desperately to think of a witty retort, but drew a blank. I turned and strolled toward James Johnson's office. I arrived at his door, and the handwritten "Enter at your own risk" note taped under his name had been replaced with another note saying "Use other door." I opened the door and stuck my head in. He was standing with his back to the door, looking at a bunch of photographs pinned to a corkboard. When he heard the door opening, he said,
"That better be you, T-Bone."
It was last time I checked.
Come over here and give me your opinion on which of these pictures is more embarrassing to the mayor.
Let me see. This one.
What do you know, Peeper? I think I'll use this one. He looks like he's been drinking.
But Mr. Johnson, in the one I pointed out, he's wearing a polka dot tie with a striped shirt and brown shoes. And it's after Arbor Day.
But he's smiling. I don't want to give the impression he knows anything.
I guess that's why you're the big-time newspaper editor.
Write that down and remember it.
I remember all your words like my own mother spoke them.
So what do you want, T-Bone?
I came over to give you advice about a picture choice for the paper. Boy, I'm exhausted. Is it time for lunch yet?
Be serious, T-Bone. There's no lunch break here. Oh yeah, I remember now. I called you, didn't I?
That's what Verna told me. So... what do you want?
I want to hire you to...
Just at that instant, he looked past me on my right and stopped talking. He hurried to the door, opened it, and called out.
Hey, Winston, get in here now!
A skinny guy with thick glasses hurried over and through the door. James Johnson was now standing behind his desk with his hands on his hip and a grim look on his face. The skinny guy seemed to cower as James picked up a sheet of typewritten paper and started to speak.
Winston, I read the article you wrote about abandoned cars in the city impound lot.
What'd you think, sir?
T-Bone, excuse me for a second. Winston, I think you got the whole abandoned cars story wrong.
What do you mean, sir?
Let me read the beginning of the story to you. God sits on a pile of the abandoned handiwork of Detroit's auto industry.
Is there a problem with the writing, sir?
You're a reporter, man! Forget the cars! Interview God! Now get out of here before I...
A terrified reporter turned and fled the office. I tried not to laugh, and James yelled at me.
What the heck do you want, Stone?
You called me.
I don't remember why. What was the last thing I said to you?
You said, T-Bone, excuse me for a second.
No, before that.
I don't really recall. That was a couple pages ago. Let me check the script. Let's see. You said, I want to hire you. And you went on a tangent with the skinny guy.
That's right, I remember now. I want to hire you to...
Hey, why don't I throw this to a break? We'll have more time on the other side.
T-Bone Stone, the Discount Detective, is a very amateur broadcast theater production, written by Donald Spicer and directed by Doug Schaefer. As we return to the next act of the case of the Ultraviolet Tuna Melt, T-Bone is in the office of James Johnson, editor of the Tribune Herald News Press Times. He was about to ask T-Bone a vitally important question.
How's things, T-Bone?
But the announcer said you were supposed to ask me a vitally important question. What's going on here?
Relax, T-Bone. I don't like that announcer guy. I think he's a jerk. All this, he was about to ask T-Bone a vitally important question. It's a lot of nonsense. Nonsense, I say.
Relax, James. Are you sure you haven't been inhaling too much of the printer's ink?
Are you insane? I wouldn't touch that printing plant with a 30-foot pole. They have big, ugly, man-eating printing presses, and the guys who run them are scary. They have big, ugly, ink-covered hands, and their breath is foul like printer's breath mixed with cheap liquor. And they crouch in dark corners chewing on foul sandwiches, and they drink stale, cold, day-old coffee.
James, you're starting to frighten me. Which of those three phones there connect me to Gladys? I think she needs to call the guys with white lab coats down at Blissful Valley Rest Home. I'm sure they'd like to have a little session with you.
If you touch any of those phones, I'll toss you out that window over there.
But James, there is no window over there.
I know. I think we need one.
What's gotten into you, James?
I thought I could add a little, drama and hostility to the show.
Drama and hostility? Why?
This guy I talked to...
What guy?
I didn't catch his name. He said that...
You talked to some guy, you didn't get his name, and he said there wasn't enough drama and hostility?
Yeah, but...
Okay, James Johnson, editor of the, Who Cares newspaper, get with the program. Don't listen to anyone but me. The director and me. But mostly me.
Okay, T-Bone, I guess you're right.
Just show up on time and know your lines. Then go home and forget about it. It's not like this is real radio or anything. So let's forget about all this and go back a couple pages. What is this vitally important question you have for me?
Well, I wanted to hire you.
Another one of your ace reporters need a bodyguard?
No, T-Bone. This is much more serious.
Did your baboon brother-in-law sell another big money policy?
No, not quite that serious. You see, my nephew Dexter is off at college.
And he wants a summer job at the paper?
No, T-Bone. My sister thinks he's been kidnapped.
Kidnapped? Cut that out. This is serious. Let's try it again without the flourish.
Okay. No, T-Bone. My sister thinks he's been kidnapped.
Kidnapped? I guess we need the flourish for effect. Let's just continue and they can fix it in post.
As I was saying, my wife has a sister, Mary Louise, and she thinks he's been kidnapped. She said he's been off at East Monroe State over in Mudtown. He seemed to be adapting well to college life. He had joined a fraternity. Let me see, it is the I Ate a Pie.
You know, James, I didn't have any fun in college until I joined a sorority.
Can it, Stone? Let me get back to my lines. According to Mary Louise, his grades were good and everyone seemed to like him.
So, did she get a phone call? How did they contact her?
This message was left in her mailbox.
He handed me a sheet of paper with words and letters cut from a newspaper pasted on it. The message said, "We have your kid. If you ever want to see him again, meet our demands. We'll call his Uncle James Johnson at the newspaper at 1 o'clock today. No cops." The other side of the paper was blank.
I don't even know what their demands are.
Did you call the police?
Of course. I thought Detective Crenshaw would be here before you. I need you to get that Billy Biggs boy on the job getting what information he can find.
Sign this contract and I'll get him on the job right away.
What is it with you and contracts?
Gotta keep you honest, James. I can only trust you as far as I can throw you.
I don't even trust myself that far. Give me that thing.
I'll go get Billy on the snoop and come back here as soon as I can.
Okay, Stone, get out of here.
I hurried off and smiled at Gladys as I passed her. When I walked out of the building, Billy was waiting for me, just as I had hoped.
I perceived you needed me, T-Bone.
You're right, Billy.
What you need, boss?
I told Billy what James Johnson told me and urged him to get on the case right away.
Got you covered, T-Bone.
Remember, there's no time to waste. We need information right away. Here are a few bucks to prime the pump, so to speak. James is paying, so be sure to get receipts.
Okay, T-Bone. So I guess there's no time to stop and pick up some Pasquale's premium pasta?
There's always time for Pasquale's, Billy.
I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
I should be here waiting for the call with the demands. And thanks for remembering product placement.
Sure thing, T-Bone.
Billy ran off just as Crenshaw and a couple of squad cars arrived.
That was Billy, wasn't it? I could have had a squad car take him wherever he wanted to go.
Not necessary, Detective. He's probably there by now. You see, he knows a shortcut.
That's what I thought. He's a pretty resourceful kid. Come on, T-Bone. Let's get set up before the call comes in.
We took the elevator up to his office. Johnson had brought a couple chairs and a small table into his office for the phone. Sergeant Kavanaugh hooked up a speaker and a reel-to-reel tape recorder to the phone so we could all hear. Crenshaw barked a few orders to the rest of his men, and we waited in his office for the call.
Is that Gizmo the apparatus to trace the call?
What are you talking about, Johnson?
You know, in the movies, they have an officer with headphones attached to a device hooked into the phone to trace the call back to its source.
Don't be silly, James. This isn't Bulldog Drummond. That equipment won't be invented for years. The best we can do is hook it up to a speaker and have my boys call the phone company to see if they can figure out the origin of the call.
Should I call the National Bureau of Investigation?
Oh, heavens no. Not until we can confirm it is a true kidnapping.
If you called the NBI now, Forrest Kirby would show up and take the credit when it's all over. I'm sure that between us, we'll get this solved in a lick. Announcer, let's throw this to a break before the phone rings.
T-Bone Stone, the Discount Detective, is a very amateur broadcast theater production starring Jake Vandenbroek as T-Bone Stone and Kirk Spicer as Billy Biggs. This episode is brought to you by Pasquale's Premium Pasta. Pasta precisely perfected to simplify your pasta preparation procedure. Pasquale's, the perfect choice. We return to the next act of the case of the ultraviolet tuna melt to find the ensemble of characters in James Johnson's office waiting for the kidnapper's demands.
We didn't have to wait too long. Crenshaw's boys had contacted the phone company and we were waiting for the 1 o'clock call. The tension was so thick you could cut it with a spoon.
Waiting. Can you think of anything worse? And waiting for a call from kidnappers.
Yeah, Detective. Waiting for some thug to call Verna's mom fat for the second time.
Yeah. You go from waiting to terrified in a heartbeat. It makes me shiver just to think about it.
That's nothing like the thought of facing my wife and her sister if anything happens to Dexter.
Close, James. Very close. But you weren't in T-Bone's office when Ellie...
Crenshaw jumped into action.
Shouldn't I answer?
Let it ring a couple of times. Kavanaugh, you got the phone company?
Kavanaugh nodded and Crenshaw motioned for James to wait.
Everyone quiet. It's on speaker. Okay, James, answer.
About time.
Zip it, Stone.
This is James Johnson. Who is this?
Have they called yet?
Mary Louise.
Yes, James. Have they called yet?
We're waiting for them to call, so get off the line.
You nearly gave me a heart attack. Hang up!
The tension was even higher now. James Johnson mopped the sweat from his forehead and neck with his handkerchief. Crenshaw and Kavanaugh sipped some coffee that Gladys had served. It wasn't long before the call came through.
James. Let it ring a couple times.
Right, T-Bone.
T-Bone, zip it.
Would I say anything?
Yeah. I just hope it's not my wife this time.
Or Verna. It could be telephone cavalcade. We could win.
Shut your yap, Seamus. Answer it after the next ring.
This is James Johnson. Who is this?
This is the guy that has your nephew. Now listen, and listen good.
Put Dexter on the line to prove he's okay.
Johnson, didn't the note I sent you say no cops?
It did. I'm a friend of James. I'm here to support him in his time of need.
Yeah, it's a friend of mine.
I heard a laugh. What's so funny?
It's the radio. That Charlie McCarthy is quite the cut-up. I'll just turn it down.
Hey, it ain't Sunday night. What are you trying to pull?
It's a rerun. Wait. Reruns won't be around for a while. It's an echo.
You're not a cop, are you?
Cop? I wouldn't call the cops.
Okay, but don't try to pull anything.
Put Dexter on the line to prove he's okay.
Okay, okay. Bring him over here.
Yeah, Uncle James. I'm okay, just do what they want, and it'll be all right.
So what do you hoodlums want for his release?
Do what I say. Have your supportive friend pack a duffel bag with 6 boxes of choco pies, 5 bags of chocolate-covered pretzels, and 4 six-packs of soda.
What kind of sodas?
Gosho Grape and Dr. Pepper. And none of that stinking root beer.
Choco pies, chocolate-covered pretzels, and soda? What kind of kidnapping demands are those?
Call this a dry run. If it goes well, I'll call you back tomorrow.
So how do I get you this ransom?
Okay, leave the duffel bag by the Veterans Memorial Statue at the Crossroads City Cemetery at midnight tonight.
Veterans Memorial Statue, Crossroads City Cemetery, midnight. Gotcha.
And remember, no cops. I want to be eating choco pies and having a gosho grape by early tomorrow, if you know what I mean. With no cop involvement.
We'll get you what you want. Just make sure nothing happens to Dexter.
Did his voice sound weird, or was it me? And what's up with those demands? I'm surprised they didn't want 10 boxes of Pasquale's premium pasta.
You and your product placement. He must have used some sort of device to change his voice. Kavanaugh, did the phone company trace the location of the call?
Kavanaugh shook his head no and frowned.
But T-Bone kept him on the line for 3 or 4 minutes. In the movies, they get the location after just a couple lines of dialogue.
This ain't the movies, James.
Heck, it ain't even proper radio.
Okay, T-Bone. Go somewhere and get the duffel bag and the food they demand. Be sure to get a receipt for James.
Are you both against me? Receipts, receipts. That's all you seem to think about.
We'll meet in the parking lot of the Lido Bowling Alley and Pizzeria at 11 to coordinate the drop.
But he said no police.
No. He said no cops. He didn't say nothing about the police.
You planning to pinch him right there?
Yeah, then squeeze him for Dexter's location.
Are you sure that's a good plan, Detective?
It always works, James. T-Bone, go on now. Get the stuff and meet us in the parking lot of the Lido Bowling Alley at 11. And be sure to wear your private eye trench coat.
Sure thing, Detective.
And James, I want you to wait at home or at your office. I don't want you around in case things go wrong.
Things go wrong? But what'll I say to my...
I didn't want to hear James Johnson griping at Crenshaw, so I made a quick exit.
We now return you to the thrilling conclusion of T-Bone Stone, the discount detective, in the case of the ultraviolet tuna melt. T-Bone had the ransom ready and was driving to the Lido Bowling Alley to...
Dival it, announcer boy. I'll take over from here. If you don't like it, tough. To continue.
I had the ransom ready and was driving to the Lido Bowling Alley. I was wearing my official private eye trench coat. You forgot that, didn't you, announcer boy?
No, you interrupted me.
Oh, yeah.
I turned into the bowling alley parking lot and saw Crenshaw's unmarked police cruiser in the corner of the lot. There were a couple other unmarked cars around, so I parked and walked over to Crenshaw's police cruiser.
Stone, you got the duffel with the ransom?
No. Hi, how you doing this evening? But yeah, Detective, I got it.
Good. Here's a map of the Crossroads City Cemetery, and here's where the Veterans Memorial statue is.
You do realize the listener can't see this map, Crenshaw. You could be holding a blank sheet of paper. Heck, you don't even need paper.
Yeah, but you need the script, Stone. Like I said, Here's the location of the Veterans Memorial statue. We'll have officers here, here, and here. And I'll be here.
And here's Shangri-La. And over here is the Magic Dragon's cave.
Very funny. Now shut your yap and let me finish.
Oh, you're getting a little testy this evening. Did you miss your nap?
As a matter of fact, no. I did get 40 winks earlier. You'll park here, near the back gate, and walk down this road to here, then off to the statue.
That's the statue? I thought it was the Magic Dragon's cave!
Is there any chance you could take this seriously?
Doubtful, Crenshaw. Doubtful.
You set the duffel next to the statue and walk back this way. When you pass the hedge, here, I'll have another officer take your place in case they're watching. While you wait with me, the other officer will drive your jalopy back here.
But detective...
No, T-Bone. He won't take it for a joyride. He'll bring it right back here.
Promise?
Yes, let me finish. I have some miniature walkie-talkies with earphones so we can communicate.
Who? Do I get one, Detective Crenshaw? Do I, huh?
Only if you promise to be good.
I promise.
But you don't get it until you drop off the duffel.
Whatever you say, Crenshaw. What's next?
Then we'll wait to see what happens.
Crenshaw drove me the block or so to the back gate of the cemetery and showed me where to park and where to walk. Back at the bowling alley parking lot, the other officers were preparing to go to their places. Before he and the boys left, he gave me one last instruction.
Leave here at exactly 10 minutes to midnight. It should take you 5 minutes to drop off the duffel.
And get my own personal miniature walkie-talkie?
Only if you don't foul up the drop. My watch says 11:32.
That's funny. My watch says tick, tick, tick.
I could pull out my police special .38 caliber and shoot him now. No jury would ever convict me.
He and his squad sped off, and I waited in my car until 11:50, then started the car and drove off. The drop-off went without a hitch, and I soon found myself crouched next to Detective Crenshaw by a short hedge not far from the Veterans Memorial statue. Crenshaw handed me the miniature walkie-talkie and fit the single earphone on my right ear.
The radio is on and set to the proper frequency. All you do to talk is press this red button and speak into the top of the radio. There's a built-in microphone. Go on, test it.
This is radio station TBONE playing all the hits, all the time.
Okay, T-Bone, it works.
Tasting, 1, 2, 3.
Quiet.
Before I could make another silly remark, he reached over and switched the microphone off. He threw a dirty look at me and we both heard the radio click on.
Car has parked at the back parking lot and 2 people have gotten out. Over.
Roger. Everyone on your toes.
You should be able to see them now. Over.
Hold your positions until I say go. And that means you too, T-Bone.
As much as I wanted to rush them, I watched as one of them picked up the duffel bag and opened it. He looked at the other guy and took a couple choco pies out and ripped them open to take a bite as they started to walk away.
Okay, boys. Move.
I tried to yell, "Save one for me, boys!" But my microphone wasn't turned on. In a flash, 4 policemen surrounded the 2 with guns drawn. The 2 guys dropped the choco pies in the duffel, then shot their hands up in the air. By that time, Crenshaw and I were standing in front of them.
Okay, punks. I'm only gonna say this once. Where is Dexter?
I'm right here! Don't shoot!
What? What's going on here?
I'm James Johnson's nephew. This is my initiation into the I Ate a Pie fraternity. It was just a prank.
A prank? So who's your friend here?
I'm the president of the I Ate a Pie fraternity. Honest, this is just part of his initiation.
You've got a unique set of pipes there, fella.
I don't care if you're Jane Johnson's nephew or Eleanor Roosevelt's hairdresser. You're both spending the night in jail. I hope the DA throws the book at you.
He turned and walked away, still fuming.
Fraternity prank? I have a fraternity prank for you.
I gotta remember to tell Billy, if he goes to East Monroe State, not to pledge I Ate a Pie.
La 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 la
been listening to T-Bone Stone, the Discount Detective, a very amateur broadcast theater production starring Jake Vandebrake as T-Bone Stone and the Kidnapper, and Kirk Spicer as Billy Biggs, with Ryan Tanner as James Johnson and Rick Ice as Detective Crenshaw. Additional cast members were Cynthia Tanner as Gladys, Ernie Wilson as Dexter and Winston, and Heidi Vance as Mary Louise. The Case of the Ultraviolet Tuna Melt was written by Donald Spicer and directed by Doug Schaefer. Be sure to catch our next episode when T-Bone Stone says...
A New Caledonia nautical chart of Sandy Island, an unexpected migraine, and a model railway set spell confusion in the case of the unusual side effect.
Today's episode was brought to you by Pasquale's Premium Pasta. It pairs perfectly with pepperoni, prosciutto, or pesto. Pasquale's Premium Pasta can presently be purchased at any Superior Pasta place. That's Pasquale's Premium Pasta, the perfect choice. The art director was George Venegas, music by Thessalian Studios. This is the announcer speaking.
Polly Posey likes turtles.